Most people think manipulation starts with lies, but sometimes it starts with a look, a glance across the kitchen, a casual hand brushing a wrist, or, in this case, a birthday party where boundaries blurred and consequences never stopped spiraling. This story isn't about a teenager seducing a grown woman, it's about a mother, middle-aged, respected, seemingly stable, who crossed a line so recklessly that even when she saw the wreckage, she kept going. Her daughter's boyfriend was only supposed to stay the summer. Instead, he became the target of an obsession. When he tried to pull away, she didn't cry or beg. She threatened. She controlled. She said he touched her first. She said, if he told anyone, she'd ruin him. And suddenly, a lie more dangerous than any physical act hung between them. How far will someone go to keep a secret love affair from being exposed? And when love turns into psychological warfare, who really holds the power? So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The summer he moved. In. Rachel Palmer always thought she had a handle on temptation. She'd resisted more than her share. Bad deals, sleazy clients, the occasional flirtatious glance from younger men during open houses. At 52, divorced and emotionally frayed, she had finally come to accept her new role in life. The invisible woman. The mature mother. The third wheel to her daughter's blooming youth. But everything shifted the summer Nicholas Nick DeLuca moved into their home. He was her daughter Emily's boyfriend, 19. Tall, lean, polite in that almost old-fashioned way that made mothers like Rachel instantly trust him. He was mixed race, his father Italian, his mother Jamaican, with the kind of chiseled bone structure and soft eyes that reminded Rachel of movie stars from the 80s. He was, quite simply, magnetic. And worst of all, he didn't seem to know it. Emily had brought him home from college after spring semester. Their dorms had closed early for renovations, and Nick's family situation was complicated. His mom had relocated to Europe, and he didn't get along with his stepdad. Rachel, wanting to play the generous hostess, offered their spare guest room for the summer. "Just until you find something more permanent," she said with a smile, not realizing just how permanent his presence would become in her mind. The first few weeks were harmless. Rachel made extra breakfast. She folded his laundry once when Emily was out. She'd ask him about his film classes, pretending to be more interested in French cinema than she ever actually was. But then came the poolside afternoons. Rachel started wearing her old two-piece bikini again, justifying it to herself by saying, "It's my house, I can wear what I want." She'd walk by Nick with a towel wrapped loosely around her waist, pretending not to notice his glance, though she always noticed. It thrilled her. Not just because he looked, but because he looked away, respectfully. That made it worse. That made it irresistible. Emily didn't notice anything. Why would she? She trusted her mother, and Rachel used that trust, like a scalpel. One night, while Emily was at a friend's birthday, Rachel and Nick found themselves alone in the kitchen. She poured herself a second glass of wine, then casually offered him one too. He hesitated. "Come on, I'm not gonna tell," she smiled. "You're practically family." He gave in. The conversation started with movies, then relationships, then how hard it was to maintain romance when people lived under the same roof. "I know it's weird," Rachel said, her fingers absently tracing the rim of her wine glass. "Being back home, feeling watched all the time." Nick nodded, taking a slow sip. "Yeah. I mean, it's temporary. I appreciate you letting me stay, though." "You don't owe me anything," she said. "I like having you here." Silence stretched between them. "You're good for Emily," Rachel added. But there was something in her tone, a softness, an edge. Nick smiled politely, then looked down. "You're sweet," she said. "Most boys your age are immature. You're different." Another silence. And then, Rachel placed her hand lightly on his forearm. Not for long. Just long enough for him to notice. "Anyway," she said suddenly, standing, "I should go to bed. Don't stay up too late." She left without another word. But her touch lingered. 2 days later, it escalated. Emily was upstairs napping after a long shift at the cafe. Rachel found Nick alone on the patio, reading. She brought out lemonade, not in two glasses, just one. She drank first, then handed it to him, like they were sharing a secret. They sat in silence for a while before she said, "You know, you remind me of someone I used to know, when I was your age." "Yeah?" he asked, not looking at her. He was intense, kind, beautiful, just like you. He chuckled uncomfortably. "Rachel, I..." She leaned over and kissed him. It was brief, a soft press of lips, not aggressive, not invasive, but shocking. Nick pulled back instantly, wide-eyed. "Rachel, what are you doing?" She smiled, but her eyes were glassy. "Nothing, nothing at all. Forget it. I had too much wine earlier. I'm just being stupid." Nick stood. "I think I'm gonna go upstairs." "Don't tell Emily," she said, suddenly serious. "Please, it didn't mean anything." He paused, nodded, and walked away. But it did mean something. To both of them. What followed was a slow spiral. Rachel didn't pursue him aggressively, not at first. She simply made herself available. She cried once on the patio after a phone call, and Nick comforted her. She brushed his hand. She complimented his scent. She left her robe open slightly longer than needed when he walked past her bedroom. Then came the night it all changed. Emily was gone for the weekend with friends. Rachel offered to cook. A full meal. Steak, potatoes, wine. They sat at the dining table with a flickering candle between them, pretending it wasn't a date. Nick resisted every step of the way. He was polite, but distant. Until Rachel stood behind him after dinner, resting her hands on his shoulders. "You're tense," she whispered. "Let me..." He moved to stand. She leaned in. Their faces were inches apart. "I know this is wrong," she said, her breath hot. "But you feel it too, don't you?" He didn't answer, but he didn't move. She kissed him again. This time, longer, deeper. And he gave in. The affair began that night. For the next 6 weeks, they lived a double life. During the day, Nick acted like Emily's loyal boyfriend, making coffee for her in the morning, walking the dog, joining her for movies on the couch. But at night, after everyone was asleep, Rachel would knock gently on his door. Or he'd find her in the kitchen in her silk nightgown, pretending to make tea. They were careful. No texts, no calls, just whispers and glances, quick touches, silent meetings. But it wasn't just about sex. It became emotional. Rachel told Nick secrets she'd never told Emily. How her ex-husband used to mock her weight. How she never felt seen. How she missed being wanted. She cried into his chest. She asked him if he thought she was beautiful. He said yes. He didn't know if it was the truth anymore, or just survival. By August, Nick began unraveling. The guilt gnawed at him. He started avoiding Rachel, stopped answering her silent invitations. One night, he told her it was over. "We can't do this anymore," he said in the kitchen. Rachel blinked at him. "You're just scared." "I'm serious. I love Emily. This is wrong." Rachel's eyes hardened. "Are you going to tell her?" He hesitated. She stepped closer. "Don't. Don't you dare. If you tell her, I'll say you came onto me. I'll say you touched me inappropriately, that I tried to stop it." Nick's face went white. "What?" "You're a 19-year-old boy," she said calmly. "I'm a grieving mother. You really think they'll believe you?" He backed away. "I don't want to ruin your life," she said softly. "But I will if I have to." She left him standing in the dark kitchen, shaken. From that night on, everything changed. Rachel smiled around Emily like nothing was wrong. She even began suggesting that Nick stay with them longer, maybe even move in permanently. She painted herself as a maternal figure again, but underneath she was watching, testing him, waiting. Nick stopped sleeping. He began writing everything down, times, dates, things she said. But deep down, he knew, if she really wanted to destroy him, she could. All it would take was one lie. And no one would question her. Not even Emily. Chapter 2. The threat behind her smile. Nick couldn't breathe around her anymore. Every step inside the Palmer household felt like walking on glass. Rachel had shifted from seductress to saboteur overnight, still smiling, still performing her role as doting mother. But beneath her manicured politeness was a tightening vice. Every moment, every glance, every accidental touch was laced with veiled threats. She no longer snuck into his room. She didn't
need to. She had something more dangerous now. Silence, leverage, and the ability to weaponize shame. Nick began to dread the sound of her voice. "Sleep well last night?" she'd ask at breakfast, stirring her coffee slowly. "You were tossing a lot. I could hear you through the wall." Her tone was light, casual, but her eyes stayed locked on him, always watching. Emily never noticed. She was consumed with work, busy prepping for her final year of college. She spoke to Nick about internships and weekend getaways, and he nodded along, hollow inside. Each time she said, "I love you," guilt pooled in his stomach like spoiled food. One afternoon, Emily left her phone on the kitchen counter. It lit up with a message from Rachel. "We need to talk. He's pulling away." Nick stared at the screen. His throat went dry. She was planning something. He decided to record her. It was a desperate move, but he needed something. Protection. Proof. Anything that would keep her from destroying him if she ever made good on her threat. He used a small voice memo app and hid his phone in a drawer during one of their conversations in the garage. Rachel was helping him lift old boxes under the pretense of cleaning out storage. Halfway through, she stepped closer than necessary. "I miss the way you touched me," she whispered. Nick stepped back. "Don't." "You liked it," she said. "You begged for it." "No, I didn't. I wanted it to stop." She narrowed her eyes. "You were hard every time." The silence that followed was unbearable. "If you say a word to her, Nick," her voice trailed off, "I'll call the police. I'll tell them you forced me. You think they won't believe me? You think they won't find something on your phone? A picture? A text?" Nick clenched his fists. "You're crazy." "No, I'm a mother. A woman who has been hurt before. I know how to cry." She turned and walked away. He retrieved the phone. The recording had caught everything. Her threats, her voice. It was shaky but usable. His first real line of defense. He backed it up to a flash drive and hid it behind a vent in the guest bathroom. It made him feel safer. For about a week. Then Rachel escalated. She started showing up near his campus. Coincidentally, parked in the lot across the street. She wore sunglasses and oversized hats, but there was no mistaking her. She never approached, just sat there, waiting. Once, she left a note under his windshield. "If you talk, we both go down." Another time, she sent him an email from a burner account. "Still have your shirt. Might leave it on Emily's bed. Maybe with a story to match." He deleted the message, but saved a screenshot. His body was in a constant state of panic. He stopped sleeping. He lost 10 pounds in 3 weeks. He began stuttering during simple conversations with Emily. "You okay?" she asked one evening, touching his arm. "I'm just tired." "Is it school? Or us?" "No, God, no. I love you," he said quickly, too quickly. Emily looked puzzled. "Then talk to me." He couldn't. Not yet. Rachel struck again one Friday afternoon. Emily had gone out for a massage. Nick was in the living room when Rachel entered and sat beside him. "You've been quiet," she said softly. He said nothing. "Don't pretend we don't have something," she continued. "You think it just goes away?" He stood. "Leave me alone." She followed. "I could tell Emily everything right now," she said. "Say you manipulated me. I have texts." "You think they can't be twisted?" Nick turned. "I recorded you. The threats, the lies. You want to go to war?" Rachel froze. His heart was racing. He hadn't planned to tell her, but it was out now. "You're bluffing," she said after a moment, her voice shaky. "I'm not." Rachel's lips tightened. That was a mistake. She didn't call the police, not yet, but she changed her strategy. That week, Emily found a message on her mom's phone. Nick saw her frown while scrolling. "What is this?" she asked. Rachel turned white. "What?" this message. It's from you, to someone named V. You said, he doesn't know I recorded us last night. Who's V? Rachel's mouth opened, then closed. It's a joke, a game. Me and Veronica from yoga, we make up fake stories, like drama stuff. It's nothing. Emily raised an eyebrow. You wrote about Nick? Rachel laughed nervously. It was a writing exercise. Nick watched as Emily shrugged it off. She didn't believe the explanation, but she didn't suspect the truth either, not yet. The following night, Nick made a decision. He backed up every screenshot, recording, and piece of evidence to a secure cloud. Then,
he packed a bag. He was going to tell Emily. He had no other choice. The weight of the lie, the manipulation, the threats. He couldn't take it anymore. Rachel must have sensed it, because just as he zipped his bag, she appeared in the doorway. You're leaving? He didn't answer. You're going to her, aren't you? Still silence. Think about what you're doing, she said, voice rising. You'll destroy her. She'll hate you forever. She deserves the truth, he said coldly. Rachel stepped forward. No, she deserves protection. She doesn't need to know what her mother, what you, did. Nick narrowed his eyes. You're sick. She blinked. I loved you. That stopped him. She whispered. No one else ever made me feel alive again. I thought you saw me. I saw someone desperate, he said, and I'm done protecting your lie. He pushed past her. Rachel didn't follow. She didn't scream. She just stood there in the hallway, a shell of the woman who once threatened to burn his life down. He didn't trust the silence. That night, Rachel left a voicemail on Emily's phone, sobbing, barely coherent. I'm sorry. I tried to stop it. I should have said something sooner. He came to me. I didn't want it. I didn't. Nick heard it through the bathroom door. Emily was crying. His stomach dropped. She believed her. Chapter 3. The Lie That Almost Won. Emily sat at the edge of her bed, eyes red, hands shaking, as the voicemail looped for the third time. I tried to stop it. I didn't want it. He wouldn't let me. Nick stood just outside the doorway, paralyzed. He'd known this was a possibility, that Rachel would try to twist the story first. He just hadn't realized how quickly she'd weaponized tears, and it was working. Emily turned toward him, disbelief carved into her face. Nick, she said quietly, what the hell did you do? He stepped in slowly. I didn't hurt her. She's lying. She sounded terrified. She said you forced her, that you manipulated her. No, he said firmly. It was the opposite. She came on to me. She threatened me when I tried to stop. Emily recoiled. My mother? Seriously? That's the story you're going with? Nick pulled out his phone. I have proof. She hesitated. I recorded her. The threats. The way she manipulated everything. I even backed it up. There's more on... The flash drive hidden behind the guest bathroom vent. Emily blinked. You recorded her? She said if I told you, she'd accuse me of abuse. She said no one would believe me because I'm a guy. That's why I didn't say anything. That's why I stayed. She stared at him. So you had an affair with my mother, and instead of ending it, you recorded her? I tried to end it, he said, voice trembling. She wouldn't let me. Emily shook her head slowly, trying to process it all. I need to hear it. Nick retrieved the flash drive and played the clearest audio recording. In it, Rachel's voice was unmistakable. If you tell Emily, I'll say you forced me. You're 19. I'm a grieving mother. You really think they'll believe you? Silence. I don't want to ruin your life. But I will if I have to. Emily sat stone still, one hand covering her mouth. Her breath hitched. I'm sorry, Nick said softly. I should have told you sooner. I just didn't know how. Tears ran down her cheeks, but she said nothing. When the recording ended, she stood and left the room. For a long time, Nick didn't know whether she'd ever come back. Rachel didn't expect the confrontation. Emily arrived home 2 hours later, and without a word, played the recording aloud in the living room. Rachel froze,
The words echoed against the walls like gunshots. If you tell Emily, I'll say you forced me. Rachel's mask dropped. She tried to speak, tried to cry, but it didn't work this time. You lied to me, Emily said coldly. You lied about everything. Rachel's eyes darted to Nick. He used me. He wanted it. I was vulnerable. Your father left, and I was so alone. Don't you dare make this about you, Emily snapped. You seduced my boyfriend, then threatened to destroy him when he tried to get away from you. Rachel took a step forward. Sweetheart, I... Emily backed away. Don't call me that. The silence between them was brutal. Then Rachel whispered, You'll regret choosing him over your own mother. Emily's voice was steel. No, I regret believing you were someone worth trusting. What followed was swift and silent. Emily cut ties immediately. She moved in with a friend for the remainder of the summer. She blocked Rachel's number, told her she was no longer welcome in her life. There was no dramatic.
Public blow-up. No lawsuit. Just severance. Nick, too, packed his things and left the Palmer house for good. He withdrew from fall semester. Took a job in another city. He couldn't bear the stares or whispers, or the pain etched into Emily's eyes every time they tried to talk. They lasted another 6 weeks before breaking up. It's not that I blame you, she told him quietly, but I can't look at you without seeing her. He understood. Rachel Palmer resigned from her real estate firm shortly after. Rumors circulated that she'd had an emotional breakdown. Some said she was dating someone inappropriate. No one knew the full story. Emily never told anyone. Rachel moved in with her sister across state lines. She posted vague inspirational quotes on Facebook. No apologies, no accountability, just victimhood wrapped in passive aggression. Years later, Emily would still wake up some nights in cold sweats, not from nightmares about Nick, but from the memory of her mother's voice saying, He used me. Nick eventually returned to college. He graduated, got a job in production, built a new life. But he never forgot how quickly love could be turned into leverage, how easily a lie could almost destroy him. In the end, Rachel never faced charges. No one filed a report. The evidence was real. But the justice system is murky when it comes to psychological manipulation that doesn't leave bruises. The real damage was quieter, longer lasting, and it lived in the silence between a daughter and the mother she would never forgive.